Good morning, Lubbock, all of West Texas, and wherever you may be listening. This is the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in. 905, first voice you hear from when you dial into today's program, Ariel Walden on the other side. Also, Michelle answering the phones right now, 770-5790, toll-free 1-800-687-0790. Joining us in studio as we continue to talk with the candidates running in the Republican primary. We've spoken to a lot of candidates. And Dr. Donald May in studio with us. He's running, of course, in the Congressional Republican primary.
Chad,
welcome back.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be here with you in the studio.
Well, thanks for coming in. Early voting starts next week. And,
absolutely, next Tuesday morning.
Yeah, the days are counting down. What is what are you and your campaign, what are you focusing on now going into early voting?
We are focusing on continuing to contact with the voters out there, getting together with the people. Since early May and June, we've been everywhere from Morton over to Graham, and we're going to continue to cover the area. We've got almost 30,000 square miles, 20 counties. It's a big area, bigger than some states. And the great thing about it is it's filled with great people, great West Texans.
What are some of the things that you hear from different people, maybe not here in Lubbock, but some of the other places that you've traveled
to? It's pretty uniform across the whole district. Number one is term limits. They feel that the incumbent has been there way too long, and for his over 11 years in office, he's only passed three bills, two of which have named post offices. One apparently exchanged some land between Lubbock Christian University and the federal government, and they want somebody up there who's going to be on the ground like Ted Cruz is in the Senate and Mike Lee, and they want West Texas represented with a strong voice. That is one of the issues. The other is that the incumbent is not showing up at any of the debates. He's sending his one of his assistants along, who's a very fine young man, but he is not showing up at the debates. Next Monday night, the Republican Party is hosting a debate here in Lubbock. It's going to be down at Vintage Township Town Hall. We're hoping the congressman's going to be in town that day. We're hoping he shows up because I certainly want the chance to engage him.
Is it the fact that people are upset that he's not showing up to debates, or is it that, and this has been a criticism, I think that's been out there for a while, that he's not visible enough in the district?
They haven't seen him. Okay. They haven't seen him. It's both. It's both both issues. But primary is term limits, been there too long. And number two, we don't see him. And now that the debates are going on, we want to hear from him.
Do you favor term limits?
I absolutely think we need term limits.
How long?
Well, let's look at this historically. The for the president, it was George Washington who said two times up there is enough. When we had FDR in and he got elected four times, it was the Democrats who led the charge to limit it to two. I think, and this is just coming off of what I'm looking at, I think somebody goes up there for five terms in the U.S. House and then comes home for three terms or five terms or goes on to the Senate or goes on to become an ambassador or goes on and does something else. I think two terms in the Senate are fine. There can be a reprieve in there of one term or two terms. But again, getting the people back to doing something else, getting them back home to reality. Because initially when Congress went into session, it was the first week of December, and it's Congress finished in time for the men who lived down in South Carolina and South Georgia to get home in their carriage or their horse in time for Christmas Eve.
Let me ask you this, in plain devil's advocate as far as term limits go.
Absolutely.
Aren't term limits something that a lot of folks bring up, politicians, people who are out there in the general public, only when they're mad at the person representing them? Because if you were to ask, I think a lot of folks out there right now about Ted Cruz, and you're a fan of Ted Cruz.
Absolutely.
I don't think a lot of people would want him out that quick.
Well, they probably don't, but that's why they're saying he's a good candidate for vice president or president, going on and doing something in addition.
But would you only want Ted Cruz in the Senate for two terms?
Again, this is something I think we need to talk about, and the American people need to talk about. This is a decision of the American people. How long do they want up there? The American people decided two terms was enough for a president. No chance of a replay. Bill Clinton can't get back in. Barack Obama cannot, under current laws, stay for another term. And the American people says, this is enough. We're going to change our CEOs. We're going to change our representation. We're going to change those who are up there and give them a chance to go do something else. Ted Cruz is up there two terms. He's going to get done a lot in two terms. My guess is that he's going to end up being vice president. He's going to end up being secretary of state. There's a huge number of options. If I were sitting in the White House, certainly he would be someone who I would want as my vice president or my secretary of state or my attorney general, something in that capacity.
Visiting with Dr. Donald May in studio, continuing on just a few of the most recent topics. The farm bill is yes. Something that obviously impacts a lot of folks out here. It impacts a lot of the country. 80% of the farm bill, food stamps. So
food stamps,
it should,
yes.
Should probably be called the food stamp bill. But what did you think about the farm bill overall? Was it good or was it bad?
It's okay, but it doesn't address the real problems that we farmers have. It doesn't address the massive amount of government intrusion into our abilities to farm. We need some control. There needs to be some level of oversight to prevent people from using dangerous chemicals, to doing things that would harm the consumer. There needs to be some level of protection. But with the EPA, with the Endangered Species Act, with wetlands, it's way, way, way over intrusive because we can have the land that I farm in Illinois sits on top of the last glacier. It was back when my relatives got there in the 1820s. It was swamp and slough. It was tiled out in the 1840s, 1850s before the Civil War. Some of those tilings that are 100, 150, almost 200 years old, we're still using. And, the federal government could come in there and shut down our operation just by saying it's wetland. Getting out of our way, cutting taxes, getting rid of the death tax. You can't have a farming operation that isn't subject to the death tax these days.
Back on the farm bill, would you have voted for the farm bill?
I probably have voted for the farm bill, but I would have been extremely vocal about stripping out welfare. I don't think welfare should be part of a bill, no more than I think welfare should be part of the Internal Revenue System or any other part of our government, but we've got welfare creep coming in everywhere. And I would have been extremely vocal on that. I would have been extremely vocal on cutting taxes, cutting regulations, getting the EPA, Endangered Species Act, and other things that are basically politically motivated from the left out of the way. Yes, I probably would have voted for the final thing, but I would have put much, much more vocal in there, and I would have roused the interest of the American people a whole lot more. When I get up there, I plan to be on the floor 7 minutes every day of the House. That's what I'm told I can have every day. And you would have heard from me on that farm bill every day.
Is that something you don't think Republicans and maybe the current congressman, you don't think that they did enough? Talk about the fact that 80% of this is food stamps? Because I mean, you saw a lot of Republicans on TV bringing up the fact that, you know, this is a huge welfare bill, that this is
yes.
a huge food stamp bill. What would you have done differently?
Well, I would have said we need to get the welfare out of here, and ladies and gentlemen, we need to get the federal government out of the welfare business. We need to get welfare back to the states and the communities because we in Lubbock, Texas here know better who our poor people are. And the people here in Lubbock, Texas, a whole lot of poor people who aren't getting enough under the current welfare system. They really need a lot more help. And there's a whole lot of folks who just need some help and some incentive getting out and getting a job and getting to work. And we need to particularly concentrate on the young people, the young minorities who are getting way priced out of a job because they don't have the skills to jump in. And now we have a federal government that wants to put a $10 bottom floor on pay. And there's a whole lot of young folks out there in their teens who can't provide $10 worth of work.
Mm-hmm. Visiting with Dr. Donald May in studio. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Still a lot of ground to cover. We'll be right back. Back on the Chad Hastie Show, Dr. Donald May in studio, running in the Republican primary for Congress in District 19. I want to go back just real quickly to the farm bill because you had mentioned that you
Absolutely.
Would have voted for it, but there were a lot of things in there that said, it sounds like you do not like. Why vote for a bill that you don't like?
More things that are not in there, more tax relief. relief from oversight organizations such as EPA and such. And again, as I said, we need some level of oversight to make sure we're not using bad chemicals and such, but it gets way overbearing.
Right.
Tax relief.
But why vote for a bill that you don't, that you have a lot of issues with?
Right now, the farmers need some level of insurance. The federal government has had the farmers under their thumb since the New Deal, and it's been ostensibly with helping the farmers. They help us out. I have a farm that's very, very hilly and sloping from the, it's at the end of the last glacier. I've worked with the federal government to put in several miles of tiling. We put in 2 new miles of tiling a couple of years ago and did a lot of sloping, a lot of heavy equipment work on it. But again, I look at the effort that went in and the money I put in, I would have probably been better off to do it on my own. And it's again dealing with the bureaucracy. We need to streamline this. We need to get the federal government more efficient. Efficiency is not one thing that the federal government does well. So what I really look forward to is sitting down with the farmers, the ranchers, the energy producers on a regular basis, getting ideas from people who know far more than I do, and putting the federal government in a proper place where we're working together to produce the maximum yields of high quality food, high quality energy for the people of Texas and for the world. We are one of the great energy producers, great food and great fiber producers of the world. And we need to get the federal government working as our servant and not as our adversary. That's probably about the best way I can put it.
We do have a question on the phone, so I'm going to go ahead and let you put on that headset right there, Dr. May. And once you got that on, we'll go ahead and go to the phones. And Joe, you're on KFYO with Dr. Donald May.
Good morning.
Yes, sir. My question is have you considered, or what is your position on a constitutional convention to amend the Constitution in the next term? I'll hang up and let you talk about it, okay?
Thank you, Joe.
This is one of the things that we've been talking with. I've talked with Greg Abbott about this a couple of times and plan to get together with hopefully incoming Governor Abbott very soon after the primary election. But you bring up Article 5 of the Constitution. There's 2 ways to amend the Constitution. One is starting the amendment process in Congress and then taking it to the vote of the people. The other is a convention of the individual states, and they put together the amendment, and it goes to the people. And I think that's a very good possibility, because talking about term limits, the only way we're going to get term limits in our government is if we have a constitutional convention of the states, because the Congress people up there, they don't want to give up their important positions. They don't want to put limitations on themselves. And this is an issue that I believe that Mike Lee has been also talking about, Ted Cruz has been talking about it, Louis Gohmert has been talking about it. These are some of the more conservative people there.
Doesn't that run a big risk if you have a constitutional convention? Because once you open that up, you know, you've got the far left out there who can come in and say, hey, let's take a look at that Second Amendment. Let's take a look at guns. Let's take a look at some of these other things.
The thing is, though, Chad, you can write amendments. They can do exactly the same thing in Congress. They can say, let's propose an amendment to get rid of the Second Amendment. We saw back in history where they put an amendment in there to ban the production and consumption of alcohol. And that had to be reversed with another one. But you don't have a danger, because you have the states coming together. Most of the states are very conservative. And then you have to have ratification by the people of three quarters of the states. So the ultimate power, no matter what they come up with, the ultimate power, Chad, resides with the people. As Jefferson said, the only safe repository of power is the people. And that's why when I get up there, you're going to see me on the floor of the House every day. I'm going to be talking, confronting the president, confronting the problems, providing solutions. But in addition, more importantly even, is getting the people back home and across the country excited and moving because it's the people that are going to have to change this. We can put together a constitutional, we can write constitutional amendments, and I will be proposing amendments. Along with bills, I'm going to be proposing amendments as we go. This is one option, and it comes down to the vote of the people, whether they want that amendment or not.
Let me ask you about this, because this is something that I've gotten a few emails on before, because you've mentioned that you would write a lot of bills, that you would want to pass some laws. What about the argument, less is more sometimes?
Bills that I'm planning to write is, and again, less short bills, 3 to 5 pages, 10 pages at the most, because these are like the scalpel in the hands of a surgeon. You go in and you cut the bad parts out, you leave the good parts. But when I talk about bills, it's not adding to the size of the government. It's bills intended to sunset provisions of the government, to shut down sections of the government, to take the Department of Education and phase it out, bring education back to the state of Texas, bring it back to the county of Lubbock, because 70 to 80% of the budget of the Department of Education never leaves the walls of that building. About 20 to 30% come to the states. You take that 30% and give it as a block grant to the state of Texas and says, hey, you guys do this. We've got 50 states and territories competing. That's what made this country great.
Let me ask you this. We have just a few minutes left here on the program. Visiting with Dr. Donald May. Want to get in a few more questions. Yesterday, the House GOP, they passed a debt ceiling increase. How would you have voted?
I would have voted against that. Basically, they didn't vote for an increase. They basically removed the cap from it. Mm-hmm. Our national debt, the way it stands right now, by the action of the Republicans, from what I understand, and I haven't read the bill, in completeness. I've only looked at the analysis of it, but it removed the cap of the bill. It has given Barack Obama free spending. He can spend virtually anything he wants and raise the debt ceiling to anything he wants until the 15th of March, 2015. That would not have been something I would have supported, and I would have been very, very vocal against Mr. Boehner.
Let's go out to Muleshoe real quickly, and Gene, I can ask your question real quick.
Can you go into how the states ratify that? Now, I know that they send delegates to the convention. Is it the delegates of the states who do the ratifying, or is it the vote of the people?
No, it's the people. It would come up with it. And that's a great question, Gene. Thank you. From my understanding, and it's been a long time since, it's been over 30 years, I believe, since the last amendment was ratified, but what would happen, in my understanding, is the course of an election or a special election, these amendments would come up, and the individual people in that state would all have a vote on it, so it would have to be a majority of the people in that state passing that bill, and it would have to be 3/4 of the states, it'd be 37 states, would have to ratify that with a vote of the people. It would not be a vote of the state legislature.
Visiting with Dr. Donald May, we have just about a minute or so left here in this segment. How do you separate yourself from the others who are in this race? And more importantly, I guess right now, Congressman Randy Neugebauer, who is the incumbent.
I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to be like Ted Cruz, and you'll see me 7 minutes a day on the floor of the House. That's what I'm told I get. You'll see me in the first 3-4 weeks up there more than we've seen the incumbent in 11 years.
Well, I have to ask you this. You keep on mentioning Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz voted against the farm bill.
Yes,
he did. You said that you would want to be like Ted Cruz, but would vote for the farm bill.
I'm talking about inactions.
Okay.
I'm talking about level of energy. That doesn't mean that he and I are going to agree on everything, right? The other thing that's different in me is my background. I'm a surgeon. I've got a background in medical economics. I taught MBA students here, health organization management for 12 years, helped put together that program. I am a farmer. I actively farm in Illinois. My wife is actively farming in California. And I've got a background in administration, from department chairman to medical school dean. And I hope that has covered it. And I'll look forward to the next opportunity of talking with you, Chad.
Dr. May, I appreciate your time.
God bless America.